water and air. My text is in Matthew 19, but really it's in 1 Kings chapter 21. Notice our text today in Matthew 19. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Now, sometimes the word eunuch can refer to someone who just doesn't get married by choice. There are some, for the kingdom of God's sake, that choose not to get married. But sometimes the word refers to someone who has been made a eunuch, much as you would a farm animal. Last week we read through chapters 18, all the way to chapter 20 in the book of 1 Kings. We looked at some post-victory dangers. We saw Jezebel rebound just when they thought that she had been defeated. We saw Elijah grow weary. So let's pick it up from there in chapter 21. We've dealt with this chapter before, but I want to explore it further today in light of our recent sermons on previous chapters. 1 Kings chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, "Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" And he said unto her, "Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite." And Jezebel his wife said unto him, "Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And she wrote in the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou did blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die." There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Church of God, today I want you to see that Jezebel is your classic rebellious, strong-willed, bossy feminist. And I want you to see that Ahab is your passive, depressed, sulking, modern male, dominated, ruled by Jezebel. I want you to further see that Naboth means fruit. It means fruitful. I want you to see that in the Bible, the fruit of a man or woman refers to the children. I want you to remember that Pharaoh, the state, came to Moses and says, "Listen, if you want to take the people out in the wilderness and y'all want to worship God and do your church thing, go ahead, but I'm keeping the children. So let's make a deal right now. Your children belong to me. They're going to stay here, but y'all go off and do whatever you want to do." And Moses said, "No deal. No deal." And that's what the state will do to a lot of Christians today. That, powered by Jezebel, the state will say, "You make a deal with me. I get your children. You put them in state public education. You pretty much let me control your children. I'll vaccinate them. I'll put drugs in them. I'll basically rule your children. And then you go do whatever you want. You can have church on Sunday, but just make sure you give us the children for the rest of the week." And Moses said, "No way." And in picture and type, you see that Naboth told Ahab, "No deal." What did Ahab want? Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth. In the Bible, notice Psalms 128, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. The wife is the vineyard. The children that come from it are the fruit of the vineyard. So what you see here, she is a vine. She is, the children are the fruit of the vine. And so what we see is that Ahab, in type, is the state powered by Jezebel coming to seize the modern family. There is a literal Elijah who will once again go up against the Jezebel whore in the coming tribulation period. The Bible is clear about this. Notice what Elijah is going to preach. He's going to strike a death blow right at the heart of feminism. He says in Malachi 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers. Don't follow the NIV and the new Bibles. What they do is they totally distort this verse. They want to, because they are basically led by feminists and lesbians and that type of thing, they distort, they call them gender neutral translations, you know. They want to get rid of anything that has to do with the father, that has to do with patriarchy, that has to do with the headship. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. This is what Elijah is going to be preaching. He's going to contend against the Jezebel spirit. Look at 2 Kings 9. It came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. I want you to understand that although the literal Elijah will come and he will literally preach against feminism, I want you to see that there is a spirit of Elijah. Luke chapter 1 says, John the Baptist shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How did John the Baptist come in the spirit of Elijah? Well, we saw John the Baptist go to the king of the land who represents and is an example to those in the land and says, it is not right, it is not proper that you have your brother's wife. And oh, Herodias, she got mad at John the Baptist and went after him and ended up cutting his head off. How did she do it? She manipulated the state. She manipulated the state. How did Jezebel get Naboth's vineyard? She manipulated the state. There is a spirit of Elijah. There is a spirit of Jezebel. There is a literal Antichrist. We know that. There will be a literal man that's going to rule this world in the New World Order, but there is also a spirit of Antichrist, just as there's a spirit of Elijah. Notice 1 John 4, this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So when you put all this together, Church of God, you have a whore in Revelation 17 who sits on the beast, the literal Antichrist. The state. And for a time she is supported by him, but yet she is in the driver's seat. She uses the beast to accomplish her purposes, but she manipulates the beast. Prophetically, this woman is Rome. Spiritually, she is the spirit of Jezebel, sitting on many waters. It's seen in the Roman Catholic Mary worship. It's seen in the New Age goddess and worship of Mother Earth. She is the spirit of feminism sitting upon many waters, peoples, and nations. So now we go back to our chapter and we ask, how did Jezebel get the vineyard? And I'm going to tell you, Church of God, when you answer that question, you will find out today how feminism is robbing fathers of their children, how feminism is destroying the family, how feminism is manipulating the family and controlling the family by means of the state. And how does it work? It's very simple. You could go home and order the book, Who Killed the American Family by Phyllis Schlafly. And I would recommend that everyone read that book. It's a pretty deep read, but it will show you how parental alienation, manipulation, and the court system in America is designed in many ways, many times. There is a movement to change it, and praise God, when there's justice, sometimes there are wicked fathers, sometimes there's wicked mothers. But nevertheless, what happens is, she documents that oftentimes, you just go in, make a false accusation, and you see what can happen. Now, there are wicked fathers. There are times when we understand this situation, but I want you to see that there is some corruption going on. Now, one of the things they use is false accusation. False accusation and manipulation of courts. We see one thing that Jezebel did was she brought false accusations against Naboth. False accusations against Naboth. You see her belittling the manliness of her husband. She controlled her husband. So it's very important that we see why godly women in Timothy and Titus are told not to slander or give heed to false accusation. But we've dealt with this in the past. And I want to show and review another aspect of Jezebel. When Jezebel was being judged, she painted her face and was surrounded by eunuchs. I want you to think about this now. Now, we've shown in earlier sermons that those eunuchs actually turned on Jezebel. And the Bible says in the last days, the dogs, the kings under the Antichrist will turn on Jezebel or on the whore. But for a while, she controls them. What we see is that another device of Jezebel is not just false accusation and manipulation. Another device of Jezebel is to belittle manliness wherever it is seen. And Jezebel will surround herself with eunuchs. We see how she used men of Belial. She said, find some men of Belial that will give this lie. You have to have two witnesses, hold a court, and get these men of Belial to come in and lie about Naboth. Jezebel uses worthless, wicked, effeminate, spineless men. She surrounds herself with these types of men. But she desires masculine, dominant women, but she wants weak, passive, gelded men. Notice Ezekiel 16, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. That word means bossy. So what I'm telling you is that today there is a war going on that I've spoken about quite often. There is a war between the spirit of Jezebel and a spirit of Elijah. Ultimately between God and Satan. But it's manifested today in this Jezebel feminism that is trying to destroy the family and is trying to raise a nation of weak, passive men. But if we want to really get to the root of this situation, why don't we go back to the original Queen of Babylon? Let's look at some history from 1718, E-curls, eunuchism displayed. And let's go back and look at the original Queen of Assyria, or Babel. I want to show you how she operated. And if we find out how the original whore of Babylon operated back at the very first Babylon, we will have a pretty good idea how she's going to operate throughout all of history. Let's go back to the original Jezebel. Carl tells us that most of the learned believe that Semiramis, queen of the Assyrians, widow to Ninus and mother to Ninias, was, and remember, when you go back and read that story, it was a pagan trinity that went all throughout the nations. And what they ended up saying is the mother was married somehow or another to her son. And that's what you see in the Catholic Church today. They call Mary the new Eve, and they say Christ is the new Adam. But wait a second, Jesus is the son of Mary. And if Mary is the new Eve, as the popes tell us, and Jesus is the second Adam, as the Bible clearly tells us, and wait a second, then that means Mary and Jesus are somehow married if he's it's perverted. And you're like, what's going on here in the Catholic Church? And you realize, oh, it's just the same old old paganism that we've had throughout the ages. I believe in the biblical Trinity, but I do not believe in the pagan idea of the perverted. So, as you look at this first wicked setup, she was the first that introduced this kind of mutilation. All learned believe that she was the first, this queen of Assyria, the first to introduce this kind of mutilation. And they grounded their opinion on the authority of Ammianus Marcellinus, who in the sixth chapter of his 14th book, taking occasion to discourse of this queen, gives us to understand that there were multitudes of eunuchs in her time. Semiramis, that old queen who first of all made young boys undergo castration. She dressed herself in a long vest like a man. She rallied the broken troops. She put herself at the head of them. Others say that she dressed herself in man's clothes and brought her son up like a girl on purpose. The Persians and several other nations make eunuchs. I say to make them, for it was not always done by cutting. Hemlock and other herbs would do it. As we may see in a book put forth by Paul Eguiet, which treats particularly of that subject. So what the historians show is the original queen of Babylon, the original queen of Assyria, raised her son like a girl. She surrounded herself with effeminate priests. She made them eunuchs by drugs, by herbs. She feminized the males by herbs, but she herself wore man's clothes and led the troops like a man. I mean, here you go, right back at the very beginning of the history of the nations. You have this perversion. You have this woman, the first Jezebel, using her drugs or her concoctions, her witchcraft concoctions, to feminize boys, to chemically castrate them, so to speak. And what happened is when God scattered the nations, this pagan goddess worship spread throughout the world. That's why it's seen in all the nations of history just about. And the fertility goddess, and this is very strange, the fertility goddess required infertility from her castrated priests. Today you will see it in the celibacy, the Mary worship of the Jesuits and the Catholic Church. Why do they require celibacy in the priest? And why are so many of those priests guilty of homosexuality and pedophilia? Because the Roman Catholic Church simply adopted the paganism of Rome. It's Mystery Babylon. The priests of Ceres among the Athenians made themselves eunuch by drinking hemlock juice. Humanist educational treatises say Servius says that once upon a time it was customary for priests to be emasculated with certain herbs. The Encyclopedia Britannica says Persians and others had various methods of making eunuchs, namely by the administration of cicuta and other poisonous herbs. Now you see the historical root. Now, as we take a look at Revelation 17, as we take a look at the great whore, as we take a look at what's happening, Look at Jeremiah 51. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. They're not just crazy, folks. I believe the nations are getting perverted by her wine. It's that ancient wine of Semiramis. It's the original juice of the hemlock, so to speak. Revelation 18, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Many know that sorcery is often involves the use of drugs. This gives a whole new twist to Jeremiah 51. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They became as women. Whoa, what happened? What happened? Not just historically, but figurative. What's going on here? Her wine is figurative, but it's also literal. She has concoctions, drugs, chemicals that help bring forth the desired behavior, or at least bring forth the temptations and tendencies in her victims. Now, as we read some of the quotes that I've given you in earlier sermons, they begin to come together in a whole new light. Here's Aldous Huxley, California Medical School of 1961. There will be in the next generation so a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude, brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. He should know. He wrote about it. He predicted it. In his Brave New World of 1932, the lower classes are exposed to certain chemicals and hormones before they're born to reduce their intelligence and to make them infertile. But 70% of the women in this utopia in the Brave New World are exposed to male hormones to sterilize them and give them masculine dominant behavior. That book was not just a little fiction story. He was plotting out what the insiders were doing. He was part of it. Bertrand Russell, The Scientific Outlook of 1931, says, just as the sun worship of the Aztecs demanded the painful deaths of thousands of human beings annually, so the new scientific religion will demand its holocaust of sacred victims. Perhaps by means of injections and drugs and chemicals, the population could be induced to bear whatever its scientific masters may decide to be for its good. Folks, we are just going back to the beginning when the book of Revelation shows mystery Babylon, the whore with her wine poured out to all nations. It's just going back to the old Semiramis. It's going back to the original spirit of paganism where she put on man's clothes and castrated chemically the boys. Bertrand Russell in 1952 says diet, injections, injunctions will combine from a very early age to provide the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. Folks, they're not going crazy to vaccinate everybody with mandated vaccines. They're not doing that simply because they're all gullible and actually believe that everybody's going to die of a plague unless you stick poison in everybody. No, there's an agenda behind these vaccines. Charles Galton Darwin, the grandson of Charles Darwin, was a member of the Eugenics Society with Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. The Eugenics Society, they basically wanted to get rid of the undesirable. They wanted to keep everybody that they did not consider intelligent or rich. They wanted to make sure you didn't have children. So that's why Planned Parenthood, we see birth control, abortion, killing the babies. And the whole idea is to go into the inner cities and try to keep certain people from having children. He was a member of the Eugenics Society. He says there is the possibility of substantially altering the intellectual and moral natures of individuals by some sort of hormonal injections. Getting back to Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, her magazine was The Woman Rebel. No gods, no masters. The first edition was 1914. There you go. Margaret Sanger. Sanger said the most merciful thing that a family does to one of his infant members is to kill it. Now, Planned Parenthood admits that she said that, but they try to say, well, she was in the context of saying that if you raise a child in a poor environment, they might die of disease, so it's more merciful. You know what? This woman was a wicked witch. I mean, if you can't tell by her magazine, No Gods, No Masters, it's basically Nazism. It was Margaret Sanger who is the birth mother of what later became the pill, the birth control pill in the 1960s. She dreamed of a magic pill as early as the early 1900s. She wanted a magic pill that would keep women from having children. Dr. Paul Ehrlich, Stanford University biologist and author of the Population Bomb, says if voluntary birth reduction methods did not work, a nation might have to resort to the addition of a temporary sterilant to staple food or to the water supply. In other words, these people are saying, why don't we just add some of this stuff to the water? You know, they stick chlorine in water, which is endocrine disruptor. They stick fluoride. They stick all kinds of garbage in the water. Not to mention, you've got in your public water supply, there are just tons of psych drugs and antidepressants, and even the birth control pill is found inside the water. So people are drinking water, and they're just filling their bodies full of this trash, which is really just the wine of Jezebel. She's going to find a way to get you to drink this wine. Now, when you think about all of this, this fella said, let's add it to the food supply. I mean, I've been documenting for years what antibiotics and hormones and pesticides do to our fertility. I've shown they make women dominant and they make men passive. Now, if you were a Jezebel feminist, if you were a feminist and you found out that there's certain things that you could do that'll make the boys grow up where they'll be passive and easily controlled, but make the girls dominant, well, it's a feminist dream. Amazon women. Now take a look at The Guardian in the UK. Why is the Bill Gates Foundation investing in genetic modification giant Monsanto? Because Bill Gates is for population control. And GM, genetic modification of food, you give your animals genetically modified food. We eat, some people eat genetic modified food. Bill Gates says, my dad was head of Planned Parenthood. So this is coming full circle now. The feminism, the Margaret Sanger, the Planned Parenthood, it's all joining together with the billionaires of the world. Here's a headline from Mercola. Monsanto's unlikely new business partner. The U.S. Department of State has virtually become an agency for promoting the private interest of the Monsanto Corporation. Wow. Here's another one. Hillary Clinton's GMO support. Monsanto ties spark backlash. What's going on? Hillary Clinton supporting GMO and Monsanto? Here's another headline. Hillary's agribusiness ties give rise to nickname Bride of Frankenfood. Here's another one. Hillary Clinton hires former Monsanto lobbyist to run her campaign. What's going on with GMO food? They want to pour Roundup on the crops. And Roundup kills everything. I mean, a lot of the pesticides just turn the male frogs and cause them to grow women parts, or female parts. Roundup not only reverses the sexes, but it kills the frog. It kills everything. So they GMO, they genetically modified the food to withstand insane amounts of their herbicide. So everything around it dies, but the plant does not die. Glyphosate has to be increased. They have to use more and more doses of it. Glyphosate is the key ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup weed killer. So now you have headlines. The glyphosate-based herbicide Roundup is an endocrine hormone disruptor. GMO corn and Roundup shown to cause hormonal imbalance. Folks, I'm telling you that they figured out how to inject your food supply to geld the boys and produce dominance and aggression in the girls. GMO awareness says glyphosate causes birth defects, tumors, reproductive disorders in animals at very low exposures. It's also an endocrine disruptor. Scientific American back in 2011 says many agricultural pesticides disrupt male hormones according to new tests. Traces of the chemicals remain in food. There's women saying, I wish my man was more of a leader. I wish he would just step up and just, you know, take charge of some things. You know, there's not only spiritual reasons, there's not only the spiritual side of things. There is a physical side to what's going on in America today and the whole world. WikiLeaks cable. U.S. government is the largest supporter of Philippines population control in the past 40 years. LifeSite News. You know, they've broken into a lot of emails and they found out that the government has been studying all this intricate disruption. I won't quote all the titles from WikiLeaks to you today. But the government is into population control. It has been shown in numerous studies that the pesticide atrazine is an endocrine disruptor. That's the most common pesticide. It induces hermaphroditism and over time complete feminization and chemical castration in frogs. All atrazine-exposed males in the control groups had greatly reduced testosterone levels and noticeable demasculinization. Atrazine is one of the most widely used pesticides in the world. When you go home, Google breakfast cereal and recent pesticide findings of how much is in your common, ordinary vegetable, a breakfast cereal that you give to the children. Why are they going for the cereal? Because they want to get the kids when they're most susceptible to it, see. We know BPA was shown to be an environmental estrogen in 1936, long before they stuck it in plastics. But if you get something BPA-free, they don't tell you that there's 100 other endocrine disruptors in every bit of plastic. And you know, I emailed the research professor at the University of Missouri who said, yeah, we lined the kids up, we tested them, and we found out even in cold, even without it being hot, it leaches out into their bloodstream. Then you've got psych drugs. One of the first side effects of psych drugs is endocrine disruption, hormonal reversal. Women become dominant, full of testosterone, and they take these psych drugs, and the men lose their testosterone. But if all of that was not enough, Jezebel says, no, we must pour out my wine. We must have force-mandated vaccination. We must make sure that we inject them with large doses of Jezebel's wine. And then Jezebel says, no, not enough. Spray the whole populations from the sky with mosquito spray. So back when that whole mosquito spray thing started years ago, I said, guess what we're going to find out? Watch this. I'm going to find out what they're spraying over Dallas and over all these big cities. We're going to look at the chemical. We're going to look at the side effects. And it's pretty much going to be Raid bug spray. And the first effect is going to be reversal of sexes. The first thing is going to be endocrine disrupting, removal of men's testosterone. It's a way of making a society, a nation, passive, you know. And it's a way of producing male homosexuals and tempting girls to be dominant and lesbians. But even all of that is not enough. There's more. NASA's website, nasa.gov, says tracers, clouds, and trails, commonly used vapors that are released, are trimethyl aluminum, lithium, and barium. Okay, so NASA says, oh yeah, we go up in the air and we release aluminum, lithium, and barium into the clouds. Another NASA.gov, majority of tracers are used in altitudes between 50, they said the majority of them are used in altitudes between 50 and 248 miles above the Earth. Well, what goes up must come down. A lot of people say, well, what do you believe about the whole airplane chemtrail? What you'll see if you read Snopes and some of the denials of all of this, what they do is they say, well, we all know there's cloud seeding, but we don't believe in this chemtrail stuff. So everybody admits they're cloud seeding. What's cloud seeding? Spraying chemicals up in the clouds to try to make it rain. So everybody admits that. So I don't care what you call it. I don't care how they get it up there. But according to NASA and according to their own websites, they admit we're spraying chemicals in the clouds. We are spraying chemicals up in the air for tracers. And they'll tell you what some of the chemicals are. We're spraying aluminum, lithium, and barium up in the sky. Then you find out, a lot of people say, no, there's no chemtrails. All that is jet fuel. So you scratch your head and say, well, what are they sticking in the jet fuel? And so you come back and you start reading, you're like, well, they're sticking aluminum in the jet fuel. So they're sticking aluminum up in the sky, NASA, supposedly, they are, but then you find out they're sticking it in the jet fuel. So they're sticking aluminum everywhere. So it comes down in the rain droplets. It's in our air. And then you had Snowden, who says chemtrails are part of a benevolent program, as far as he knows, to stop global warming. He says the government is cooperating with Monsanto. They have a secret geoengineering lab that they set up as early as the 1960s. And the government and Monsanto have been working together to stop global warming. Well, friend, I believe they're trying to work together for perhaps more nefarious purposes. How about to do what Jezebel always wanted to do, surround herself with eunuchs, what Semiramis always wanted to do, castrate the little boys and dress the girls in men's clothes. Well, you know what you're going to find. Aluminum, barium, lithium. You don't even have to Google it. You're going to find out that one of the first things all these things do is lower testosterone in males. And then you'll start reading, you'll find out they raise the testosterone in the women. Here's Life Science. Lithium, evidence for reduction in circulating testosterone levels in mice following chronic administration. Lithium, the widely used antipsychotic drug, is known to exert adverse effects on a number of endocrine organs. There you go. You don't take psych drugs? Well, they wanted to come into the schools and force your kids through teen screen to be on psych drugs. See, you go to the school counselor and you say, I'm just kind of depressed. Well, here's a psych drug. Here's lithium. We want everybody on lithium. We want to raise the women's testosterone, the girls, and we want to lower the boys' testosterone. And if that's not enough, we'll spray it on you from the sky. One thing interesting, women report their testosterone being raised on lithium. Another thing interesting, when they put rats on lithium, it cross-dressed them. But they all ran over and started eating clay. Something in the rat knew that if I eat clay, it might neutralize this poison they just gave me. So, maybe that's a good cleanse that you could do. Effects of barium chloride exposure on hormones could cause adverse effects on reproduction and the development of offspring associated with MS and other neurodegenerative diseases. Academic Journal says aluminum-induced testosterone decrease results in physiological and behavioral changes in male mice. So you grab your deodorant, you're like, oh, there we go, I'm not going to stink today here. And your wife says, get some more of that deodorant. And so you get all that aluminum all under you, you know, and then you get your chicken noodle soup filled with BPA and aluminum and everything in your life, you got aluminum everywhere. Journal of Medical Sciences, effect of aluminum on testosterone hormones in male rat. Results show the LH and testosterone decrease significantly in the test group compared with that of the control group. We got a verse for you today, Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know what circumspectly means? You see the word circle in there. It means you got to cover every base when it comes to the devil. It means you got to look all around. I mean, you got to look up. I mean, you got to look everywhere. What is the devil trying to do? And what I want to do as a preacher is I want to put you in the best possible place you can be to be free from unnecessary temptations. The Bible says, make not provision for the flesh. Why do you want to feed the flesh and make the flesh strong? Why do you want to struggle with... Do you want boys to say, I'm struggling with feelings to find other boys attractive? I mean, your boy might resist it, but do you even want your boy tempted with being effeminate? Do you want your girl tempted with being lesbian or dominant or rebellious? There's enough sin in our heart without Jezebel's wine. There is enough sin in this world. I exhort every Christian to get out from under the propaganda of Jezebel, this whole system, the whole Disney stuff that wants to come in and teach your children about magic and teach them to be homosexual. But you can turn off Disney, which many Christian parents have, some that I know about, some that I have communicated with through email. You can turn off the TV and Disney and still say, my boy's struggling with homosexuality. My boy's effeminate. What happened? And I'm telling you, it might just be that Jezebel gave your boy some wine to do what she's always done from the days of Semiramis. And there's enough evil in this world without drinking Jezebel's wine. This is why I don't drink out of plastic. This is why I don't use meat that's got hormones and antibiotics in it. This is why I don't use GM foods and such like. Now, I have to breathe the air. But I did move to the Ozark that's far away from industrial farms, that my water and air can at least have a chance compared to most people or a lot of people. And then we do drink vegetable, wheatgrass, barley grass, olive leaf. I mean, every day we make a shake this big, full. And I take barley grass pill. I take garlic. We take everything we possibly can that I might be a man or be tempted to be a man. I don't want to be tempted to be womanly. I don't want to be tempted to not have any desire, not have any fight. And if some people say, well, your preaching is kind of strong and, you know, it's kind of aggressive. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that I'm the perfect specimen of manliness. I pray to grow in all that's manly and godly. And I pray you will as well. And I pray you ladies will grow in all that is feminine and godly and bold as ladies in your own place. And that our children will have a chance. As a pastor, I'm trying to get it through your heads. But see, what happens is, once Jezebel gets somebody drunk, what do you do? What do you do? You ever gone to a drunk and said, "Hey man, you don't need to drive, you're drunk." What does a drunk person say? "I'm not drunk, I'm not drunk. Give me the keys, I can drive." He's deluded. Now he's drunk, and so he's deluded. When you get a nation of men gelded by Jezebel, one of the first things that happens when they lose their testosterone is they lose their drive, they lose their initiative, they lose their fight. So a lot of people say, "Just you can't do anything about any of this. Just forget it." You know what I mean? You lost your fight, brother. You lost your fight. Why don't we say that about propaganda? Why don't you say, "You know what? There's not a movie out there that doesn't cuss Jesus' name." When you find one, show me. I'd be interested to know. Now, don't go out looking for it, but I'd really like you to show me a Hollywood movie in the past 50 years that doesn't cuss Jesus' name. Maybe you'll find a couple out of the millions of movies. And they started even in the early children's movies. Because every one of them takes the word Jesus euphemistically as G or golly or something like that and uses it in that program. So it's very easy for somebody to say, "You know, you can't escape propaganda. You might as well just surrender to it all." Well, people do the same thing with Jezebel's wine. Because her wine has a physical and a spiritual aspect to it. It's not only her propaganda, it is the literal concoction, the hemlock juice, so to speak, that she's putting in our food and in our water and in our air. And the Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Do something, brethren. Let's get our fight back. Some of you women that are high on testosterone that are listening to this sermon out there somewhere, you might have to go like Deborah and hold your man's hand and say, "Come on, we can do this." I'm not saying Deborah was high on testosterone. But one thing Deborah did was she knew how to encourage her man to be a man. That's one thing Deborah was able to do. She wasn't like a Jezebel scolding her man and trying to humiliate him. Deborah knew how to encourage manliness. Dear Holy Father, we thank you for this church. I thank you for these good people. We thank you, Father, for your Bible. Lord, as our nation celebrates Thanksgiving this week, I pray that we will have thankful hearts, God, always. I pray that you help us to realize that this ancient plan of Semiramis has been put into effect. These population control societies, these rich billionaires, some of them, many of them, these Planned Parenthood organizations, God, they've all worked together to empower feminism. And I do pray, Father, that we will not make provision for the flesh, that we will look not at the wine, that we will touch not the unclean thing, and that we will understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to take care of them, take care of our children. And Father, I know many will say, "What can I do then?" Father, I know that we pray, "Give us our daily bread." I thank you for the support of this church, God. I thank you for the support of those that listen to our preaching. I thank you that you do provide our daily bread, God. I thank you for the abundance of chickens, Lord, that you just gave me from out of nowhere, God. Thank you, Father, that you do give us our daily bread. Let us bow our knee to you and depend upon you, Father, and try to do what we can to eat right, to eat wise, and help us grow in delivering ourselves out from under the Jezebel wine. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for eternal salvation. Again, thank you for this church. In Jesus' holy name, amen.